Okay, we'll keep hoping. All right, let's pray. Lord, we... And not afraid.
Amen.
Okay. All right. From Hawaii. We do have a listeners in Hawaii, so.
Good.
Yeah. Are you ready? Here we go.
This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
As of February 2020, a total of at least 9 million Americans had gone through homeschooling at least once. And there's an annual homeschooling growth rate of about 2 to 8%, depending on who you're talking to. There are numerous reasons why families opt for homeschooling, such as the lack of their children's progress in traditional schooling, the difference in religious and educational philosophies, lack of satisfaction with the traditional education methods, and yes, indeed, the struggles and trials and tribulations that go on in public schools increasingly these days with all the dangers that accompany it. But here's something interesting. Homeschoolers were seen to have an average standardized test score of 87%. How does that compare with public schools? Well, compared to this, the score of those going to public schools was only 50th percentile in certain subjects. Now, a study was related to the data obtained from the 2007-2008 school year by the Homeschool Legal Defense Association. There was a 39% point excess in the case of homeschoolers as compared to others. In other words, they were better off, 39% better off than public schoolers. The homeschool graduation statistics are 10% higher than that of students from public schools. And reports from the National Home Education Research Institute in 2015 showed that irrespective of the parent's educational level and financial level, homeschoolers can score well. In fact, homeschooling is gradually seen to be increasing amongst minority communities. Also, high schoolers constitute the majority of those being homeschooled today precisely because of the dangers that homeschoolers are experiencing, that the public schoolers are experiencing in their public schools. So, my dear friends, we're talking today about becoming homeschoolers. Is it best for you to give your kids a great education, a strong family, and a life they'll thank you for forever? Our special guest today, Monica Swanson, with her book, Becoming Homeschoolers. Monica, it's good to have you all the way from Hawaii. Welcome aboard.
Thank you. So great to be here.
Well, we are talking about something that my wife and I have considerable experience with. We were in Southern California in the early 1980s when we began homeschooling. In fact, I'm trying to think, it was around 1980. At that time, homeschooling was frowned upon. In fact, it was frowned upon legally. And when you decided to homeschool, you were making a courageous decision. Well, things aren't the same today. In fact, all across the country, we're finding that homeschooling has grown rather significantly, and there are good reasons for it. So you are joining us today with four boys that you either have homeschooled or are continuing to homeschool this very day. Is that right?
That's right. Got one more still coming up.
Okay. So the first three have graduated from high school as homeschoolers, is that correct?
That's correct, and two have, as of about a week ago, graduated from college.
Uh-huh.
So working our way up there.
Well, that's great. So you're the voice of experience. Now, the reality is my wife and I are also the voice of experience because our three daughters were all homeschooled. They weren't always in homeschool, however. Our oldest daughter began in a Christian school, and I was the on the board of that school. And it was a very good school. It had a great reputation, and we're not disappointed that we had our daughter in that Christian school, but not everybody in that school was Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Then our daughter went to another Christian school when she went into high school. And that also had a great reputation. But within a few months, our oldest daughter begged us to take her out of that school.
Mm.
Why? Because she saw a gross inconsistency between the faith, the Christian faith that we walked, and that which was prevalent in that school, among the students and even among the teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen that kind of problem?
Absolutely. I hear from families all the time who are walking through that right now because they hope to protect their kids from some of the things that they know go on in the public school system. So they put them in a private school and they find that the problems don't go away because there's all kinds of reasons that families choose to put their kids in a private school, and it's not always the same as what you might be choosing it for.
Well, in fact, what's happening is the same thing that's happening in colleges, Christian
mm-hmm.
colleges. I was
Absolutely.
On the board of my alma mater for several years, and one of the things that we discovered was that the administration was bringing in students from the Middle East, and why were they doing that? Not because they were Christians, but because it brought in a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of money to help with programs. And the net result of it was that all of these students from Saudi Arabia had no Christian value system. In fact, they didn't believe in truth. And so they were cheating on the exams. It was so bad, it was literally destroying all of the integrity of the school, and they had to get rid of them.
Wow.
The other problem is, and this is what I've experienced at every school level, that is Christian school level, and that is churches and others who want to start these schools have the idea that they're going to use them as evangelistic tools. So they bring in, that's the rationalization, so they bring in a lot of other people who are not professing Christians. They want to build up the financial flow with more students so they can have more programs, and they claim that it's for evangelism. What's the net result of it? It dilutes the Christian influence and subjects your children in the name of Christ to lots of things that are contrary to Christ. To me, that's a problem.
Yes, yes. And though it's a problem at the college level, and that's a whole nother conversation, I would say all the more risk putting younger kids who have not yet solidified their foundation, their
uh-huh.
biblical worldview. So my older boys did go on to a Christian college, and they saw everything you're talking about, without a doubt. However, they were ready
yeah.
because they had been grounded in their faith. They knew how to defend their faith while they watched their friends who hadn't had that experience
yeah.
go through deconstruction, as we call it today, being challenged in their faith and, you know, oftentimes throwing out their faith. My boys were able to really grow their roots deep and know what they believe because we spent those years in their growing up years. Here.
And those are the training years. Those are the most mm-hmm. important years. And I'm thinking,
Absolutely.
You know, I've been involved at every level of Christian education, which includes preschool. It includes elementary and junior high school. It includes high school, and it includes college. Every level, and has seen exactly the same problems everywhere. And we really need to give our children the maximum opportunity. From your viewpoint, that means homeschool. Let's talk about it.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination. So what happened in just one generation? Hi, I'm Chuck Crismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint, friends. We're talking today with Monica Swanson from Hawaii. She has raised four sons, homeschooling them, and now two of them have graduated from college, and she's continuing to move forward with the other two. I have 10 grandchildren. Four of them were homeschooled. And three of the four, well, two of the four had some learning disability situations. They really did. So they were homeschooled, though, and as a result of that, here is the final report. Here it is. As of last Friday, one, the older one, is now in his third year of residency as a doctor at the height of his practice. It's just amazing.
Wow.
He has exceeded beyond just about every one of his peers. It's amazing.
Amazing.
The second one has been a nurse for 6 years. The third and the fourth ones just graduated from engineering school last Friday.
Wow.
Every one of them was homeschooled.
Congratulations.
What do you think, Monica? Do you think that is some evidence that you can homeschool and still be successful?
No coincidences there. Absolutely. I see that. My boys both graduated from college and had job offers before they graduated. My son majored in engineering, mechanical engineering, who graduated last week, and was offered an incredible job the week before he graduated. So, yeah, I'm right there with you. And
wow, we ought to get those sons together.
Right? Well, the thing I like to tell people is, going through my own homeschool journey, I didn't know what I was doing. Mm-hmm. I was learning as I was going. I was gathering information and felt inadequate. I felt all the things every other parent does.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I look at them now and I'm like, it was plenty. I did just fine. And mostly instilling that love of learning in them. And so, I just like to encourage other people with our story, not to say my kids are extra special or extra smart, but saying when you give them what they need the most, then they blossom and they find their way and God leads them and everything works out. So.
You know what, Monica? I think there's this idea in America that training our children is a duty that we can delegate. And that is true, especially with regard to the spiritual training. We think that we can delegate that. We can delegate it to the youth pastor. We could delegate it to the pastor. We could delegate it to somebody else, to the Christian school and so on. But that's not how I read the Bible.
No.
I read the Bible that the primary responsibility for training up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and in his ways is exclusively limited to the parent. And
exactly.
Beyond that, anything else is extra. But the parent is the number one responsibility. What say you?
That's right. Yes. I mean, I so often refer back to Deuteronomy chapter 6.
Oh, yeah.
God gave Moses the commands to give the people. And it was all on the family. It was an all-day, everyday activity of talking to your kids about God's commands as you rise up, as you walk along the street, as mm-hmm. you lie down. That's not delegating. That's doing it right there in the family on a daily basis. And that was my inspiration.
Exactly. Well, those four grandchildren also had a heavy involvement in our home because my oldest daughter has been my right-hand person my producer, my secretary, my everything. And so we were given the opportunity to have, what should we say, extended parental authority. And, you know, one of the things that our grandchildren always know is when they would say, well, or I would ask them to do something or not to do something and say, but I don't want to. And so my answer was always, then change your want to's. Then change your want to's. And you know what?
I love it.
Even this day, when they're in there from 25 to 30, if I were to ask them, say something about, well, what if you don't want to? You know what they would say? Then change your want to's.
<That's>
So, you know, and that's a spiritual message.
That is.
And so there's so much that can be learned. I trained them, you know, to do work, the guys to do work out in the yard. And they learn so many spiritual principles there because we could share time together. And we could apply the scriptures just like Deuteronomy 6 talks about.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, grandparents are so important. And I just encourage any grandparent listening to be inspired by that, because I do think that culturally we've moved away from that to a large extent as families have kind of separated. And I just think grandparents can play such an important role, and parents need to appreciate that and lean into that and receive that when you've got that offer there.
Well, so, more than 17 years have passed since you began your homeschooling journey. And I know there have to be, just like everything else in life, sometimes up, sometimes down, sometimes nearly to the ground, and then you get up again.
That's
and
right.
You press on. Isn't that the way life is?
It is. It absolutely is, and we shouldn't expect anything different, and that's part of the journey of walking with the Lord through all these things.
All right, but you have the audacity to say, a life they'll thank you for later.
That's right.
Well, there aren't everyone that thanks for that, but I think the majority do. Why?
I do too. Because we're giving kids just this beautiful freedom to discover their passions and their interests, the freedom to become who God individually created them to be. We're giving them a safe place in this world that really isn't safe anymore. I mean, safe as far as school violence goes and bullying and all those things that come to parents' minds, but even more so safe spiritually and morally and all the things that we're exposing kids to when we put them into a school setting where they spend the majority of their years growing up, more time than they had spent at home if you put them into a school all of their years growing up. So it's a gift. It is such a gift. And even the kids that don't think they're going to thank you later, I'm pretty sure eventually they will.
Yeah. Well, you know, we've had a house church for 30 years. And in the first 15 to 20 years of that house church, we literally raised maybe 6 or 7 complete families, and every one of them was homeschooling.
Wow.
Every one of them.
That's special.
And they were diverse all over about a 90-mile diameter area, yet they would come together for worship and instruction, and they were all homeschoolers.
Incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Now, you say that there are 20 good reasons to homeschool your kids. That sounds like a lot of promotion to me. So, but I agree with you. I agree with you. And before we get into those, I want to make your book available to our listeners today, Becoming Homeschoolers, friends. Becoming Homeschoolers. It's a $20 book, yours for $18 on our website, saveus.org. Saveus.org. You can give us a call at 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check at $5 for postage and handling. Now, if you really believe that Jesus Christ is coming again and that his coming is becoming increasingly sooner than you ever would have thought, it seems to me, Monica, that would be even the more so a reason why you would want to homeschool your kids. What do you think?
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. One of my friends, when I was taking a little poll, unofficial poll, saying, why do you homeschool? And one of my friends said, I just really like my kids. I'm not going to have them for that long.
Okay.
And I actually want want to be with them. And I think, yeah, the days are short. We don't know what tomorrow brings. And we want to know, most important thing we can know about our parenting is that our kids come to know the Lord personally. And no better way to do that than to raise them in an environment where you get to bring him and his word into every aspect of your
life. And it's not just bringing them to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, but to train them up.
Train them up.
Like Daniel in the Old Testament, who purposed to set his heart and his life, like the three Hebrew young men that refused to back down. They refused to bow down. I mean, our kids are going to be facing this kind of thing right now. What you didn't know, Monica, is that my 11th book is at typesetting as we speak. It's called When Persecution Comes, Preparing Hearts for Perilous Times. And this is what parents, Christian parents, need to be doing day after day, line upon line, precept upon precept, or they're not going to be able to stand in the evil day, do you think?
I couldn't agree more, absolutely. And one of my favorite parts of homeschooling is the opportunity to read stories, both from the Bible, but also missionary stories.
Right.
And really filling our kids' hearts and minds with examples, because I always say, if heaven forbid they face that one day, I want them to have a storehouse in their memory of others who have gone before them, who have faced as bad or worse circumstances and made it through, or went to see the Lord with absolute peace.
And they will never get that in public school, and they're not likely to get that in Christian schools.
Right.
Because the Christian schools, unfortunately, are pandering largely to the unbelievers because they don't want to offend them and lose the money.
Right. That's right. You said it well.
Whoa. Well, somebody's got to agree with me here. You're so agreeable, Monica. All right. There are 20 reasons why you say that they'll thank you later. Can we run through some of those?
Well, we certainly can. And really, I had to cut myself off. I think there's more than 20 easily.
Oh, I'm sure.
And then the next chapter is 10 things homeschoolers get to avoid. So it's really a way of extending the same topic. But, you know, there's the things a lot of people first think of, like academics. Mm-hmm. Can they get into college? Will they get everything that they need? And so I cover that on that list of 20 things, which you've already mentioned. Colleges are starting to seek out homeschoolers more and more because they recognize that they make such great students.
And they're not out there rebelling against the teachers and the authority. They're not rioting.
No, they're not. And they get good SAT scores and all that stuff. But but even more, from my experience, I'm going to say, for the moms out there listening, maybe, you know, who just have that heart for, I want my kids to be best friends, and my kids are. I want my kids to like me and have a relationship with me as adults, which all of mine do. The relationships, the faith, the things that we just hope so much for but are hard to achieve when you're sending your kids off in different directions all day, every day. And so homeschooling offers across the board, from academics to faith to family relationships, the things that we want most for our kids. It just takes that sacrifice of choosing to say, yes, I'm willing to.
Now, wait a minute. Sacrifice.
I was just going to say, I've got to finish that thought, because as much as many people think of it as sacrifice initially, you discover eventually that it is the greatest gift in my life. And I'm so thankful. It has not felt like a sacrifice at all.
Well, it's a holy purpose, isn't it? Yeah, it's a holy purpose. I mean, isn't that why you are a parent?
Yes.
A public school teacher is said to be in loco parentis, in the place of the parent. Well, the reality is a Christian parent is in loco Deus, in other words, in the place of God.
Yes.
That's why this is so critical.
That's why this is so critical, absolutely. And if we were to ever put somebody in the place of the parent, I think we would want to be able to handpick and select who that would be if we needed someone. And I don't think we would be choosing the people that are there waiting for our kids in the public schools.
No way. Becoming homeschoolers, friends. This is a very encouraging book. It's a visionary book. It's a book of hope. a book of purpose. That's what it is. And I hope you'll get a copy of it. $18. We'll put this $20 book in your hands. It's on our website, saveus.org. Saveus.org. You can call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check at $5 for postage and handling. Now, let's suppose that you're a grandparent out there or a great-grandparent. Don't you think that you have enough influence to be able to perhaps get a copy of this book to encourage your son, your daughter, and his kids, and her kids? You see, we're all in this together. That's the beauty of it. We're a family. We're in this together. And so I hope you'll consider that. And we'll be back with Monica in just a few minutes to really talk about these 20 items. Oh, we don't want to miss them. 20 items. The reason to homeschool.
There is so much more about Chuck Chrismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, saveus.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, saveus.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at saveus.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Chrismeyer. You know, our viewpoint does determine destiny. Our viewpoint concerning the education of our children or grandchildren is determining their destiny. There are no neutral viewpoints. And when our special guest today mentioned the word of, I think she used the word sacrifice. Well, you know, there's a sense in which that's what we're called to do and to be as Christians. We're told to give our lives sacrificially. And as parents, that's what we're called to do, to raise up, to train up the next generation to follow the Lord with a whole heart. You see, you can't talk about evangelism out there in Africa or India unless you first take care of your responsibilities at home. That's what we're not willing to do. We want to delegate that and think somehow we're doing a wonderful thing by going out and doing a some sort of a week or two mission venture out there somewhere, and we're not taking care of the home front. We're just not taking, and this is the critical moment, friends, taking care of the home front. Now, here are those 20 things. I'm going to run through these real quickly, and then we'll move forward. Homeschool students consistently outpour other students on standardized tests. Homeschool students are increasingly being recruited by colleges. Homeschooling is efficient. It allows kids to learn time management. Homeschooling families could offer gifted or challenged students a specialized education. Homeschool kids can more freely pursue their passions and interests. Homeschool students are prepared for the real world. Homeschooling fosters strong relationships between kids and parents. Homeschooled kids build strong bonds with their siblings. Homeschooling allows families to travel and do school around the unique schedules. Homeschooling kids have an easier time getting internships, which could lead to getting better jobs. Homeschooling families can integrate character lessons into the whole day, every day. Homeschooled kids can learn everything through a biblical worldview. Homeschoolers don't have to do homework. Homeschooling supports kids' mental health. Homeschooled kids can get more sleep and can adjust their schedule to their needs. Homeschooled kids have ample time to play, use their imaginations, and experience true adventures. Homeschooled kids have more time to spend with grandparents or other special people in their lives. Homeschooled kids are free to be themselves without pressure to conform. Homeschooled kids are physically healthier. Homeschooled students grow up to be amazing adults. And
no.
They'll thank you for it. Well, friends, that's the beautiful 20 there.
That's
But then, Monica, you said there are things that homeschoolers get to avoid.
Yes.
Run through those for us.
Amen. Which may be ranking even higher on many parents' minds
right now. Oh, I agree.
In fact, I think a study has shown that, number one, homeschoolers avoid school violence is one of the top concerns on parents' minds right now.
And rightly so.
Yes, homeschoolers avoid negative socialization, and I just love the chance to address socialization throughout this book because I just think it's such an outdated concept people have is that homeschoolers aren't socialized well. So let's talk about that for a minute.
Do you want your kids to socialize with children, or do you want your kids to become socialized as adults?
Right.
I want to give you an illustration. Let me give you an illustration.
Okay, go ahead.
For 8 years, I was a volunteer pastor while I was practicing law in one of the fastest growing churches in Southern California.
Okay.
And my wife and I led a group of about 150, 200 adults. They called it a Sunday school class. We called it Faith Builders. Mm-hmm. It was the most amazing group of people, and nobody, even 30 years later, will ever forget it. The experience was so great. Well, during that time, we were urged to put our three daughters, who were then teenagers, into the youth program.
Mm-hmm.
So we did, in order to please pastoral expectations. Okay. Well, guess what? Within a month or two, they begged us to take them out so that they could be part of Faith Builders.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why did they do that? Because they wanted real life.
Yeah.
They were tired of playing children's stuff,
right,
games in the name of Christ. They wanted genuine fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
And they stayed there for the rest of their sojourn.
That's right. Yeah, great example.
Yeah.
Such a good example and such a good reminder for people to really consider what they're saying. It's like our culture just is so trained to think that socialization looks like a bunch of same-age kids in a room together, none of which you've selected. You know nothing about the families they come from, the influences in their lives, and especially today we can mention what they're bringing in their backpack, the devices. And, I mean, my goodness, it's that alone is a reason to keep your kids away from that kind of
thing. And the drugs and alcohol thing.
Yeah, well, that's here. I'll just run through this list real quick because number three is homeschoolers avoid unnecessary exposure to drugs and alcohol. And number four, homeschoolers avoid most bullying. Research shows most bullying occurs at school or in something school-related. Number five, homeschoolers avoid the teaching of evolutionism as fact. Number six, homeschoolers avoid gender indoctrination.
Whoa.
Number seven, homeschoolers avoid learning about racial issues from a biased viewpoint. And all these indoctrination and issues are really dependent on the teacher. I mean, it could go any direction.
Right.
Number eight, homeschoolers avoid pressure to date before they're ready. Number nine, homeschoolers avoid the comparison trap. Number 10, homeschoolers avoid feeling stuck, which my son is the one who really spoke into that, just talking about that awful feeling in his gut when he imagined having to sit in a classroom all day and do the same things as everybody else all day long, and like he's trapped. I mean, that son is my third who is doing college online right now because he's a professional surfer who travels the world surfing and
really
making a pretty good income for a 20-year-old.
Well, now, wait a minute.
Yeah.
And he learned all of that under your tutelage, right?
There we go, yes.
Surfer mom, okay.
That's right. My husband is definitely the sports dad. But he had the opportunity, because he was homeschooled, to really pursue that and to train and compete and travel. And now my 13-year-old son is doing the same. We're about to leave, as you and I speak, to go travel to the mainland for golf tournaments, and he's super passionate about golf. So, you know, a lot of opportunities.
And yet your husband is a doctor.
That's right.
What is he a doctor of? Doctoring kids, or what is he a doctor of?
I know. He's an amazing man that's able to juggle a lot. He's a hospitalist, so he does inpatient medicine.
Uh-huh.
He takes care of a lot of really sick people, but when he has time, he is all in as a dad, which has made a huge difference.
All right, so that brings up another question.
Yeah.
Seeing that he has such demands as a doctor, who was the primary homeschooler?
Yes, I'd have to say that's been
Mom.
Me.
Okay.
With dad's support, but yeah, I've done most of the educational stuff, and he, like I said, is a great sports dad.
Well, the same was true with my wife and I. You know, I was a very busy lawyer and involved in education, in, as I've already shared, in so many different ways. But my wife was the hands-on person. And then there were other aspects that I dealt with on a personal, and still do, in many different, once a parent, always a parent, right?
That's right, yes.
Yeah. Don't ever forget that, friends. Once a parent, always a parent.
Yes, I'm learning that now with my adult children.
Okay, again, becoming homeschoolers. It's not that we're trying to sell a book, friends. It's about a ministry. Schooling your children is a ministry. It's the number one ministry that we have.
Yeah.
It really is. And we need to have the vision for it. And it takes a certain amount of sacrifice. Are we willing to give ourselves to that? And what will the Lord say when he returns and he's going to judge the earth and all of us and what we've done with our lives? What's it going to say about how we dealt with our kids? Mm-hmm. It's just an interesting question. It's not intended to put a heavy load on you, but what's he going to say about how we trained our kids? Well, we did.
Yeah.
Since that's our primary responsibility.
Yeah.
So, something to think about. Becoming homeschoolers, $18 will put the $20 book in your hands. It's on our website, saveus.org, saveus.org. You call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255, writing a check at $5 for postage and handling. Monica, you have a podcast dealing with this, don't you?
I do. I have a podcast dealing with all kinds of things, but yes, I love to talk about homeschooling.
Okay, what's your podcast about?
The podcast is, it was initially called The Boy Mom Podcast, because my first book was called Boy Mom.
Uh-huh.
And then over time, because I wanted to be able to talk about, you know, a variety of things, it is now the Monica Swanson Podcast. And and really talking a lot about intentional family life, about faith, about parenting, and all the things that I love. So,
okay. And how would people connect with that podcast?
Right. Yes, it's on all the different, you know, places, all the places you can listen to a podcast. Just look for the Monica Swanson Podcast, and I have some incredible interviews, great guests, and probably people's favorite is when I have my boys on.
Oh, I'm sure that is. Yeah. Yeah, so mama alone isn't the one pumping all of this. It's the kids who are saying, hey, you need to hear from us.
That's always the greatest blessing. You know, I always quote 3 John verse 4 that says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And I've just been so blessed to hear my sons grow up and just want to be involved in ministry, want to share their faith everywhere they can, want to use their surfing as a light in the dark surf world, and then to also just cheer me on and talk about homeschooling and how they are truly grateful for their experience is probably the greatest gift I can know.
Do you see, honestly, do you see your kids, your 4 sons, coming out and really wanting to be a light to the world in the name of Christ?
Absolutely, yes. They're all actively involved in ministry. My oldest son, you know, really juggles a lot because he just wants to put so much of his time. I just say I'm waiting for him to get the call to the mission field because I could see him doing that, but definitely loves to share about Jesus everywhere he goes.
All right. When we get back, 11 reasons families don't try homeschooling or don't stick with it.
That's right.
Listen up. We'll be right back. This is Viewpoint.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, "I'll build my church." Is Christ by His Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, "Behold how they love one another." Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Do you expect your kids to hole up with other children their age until they turn 40? Just asking. You see, friends, what we're talking about here is the issue of socialization, which is always number one. People say, oh, I don't want my kids to be weird. I don't want them to be like that. I want them to have all kinds of socialization with kids their age. Is that what you want them to grow up to be like? You want them to grow up to be like those that are their age? Just look at what's happening with those that are their age out there. You see, it's not just about those that are their age. We live in a real world. How about adults? How about the rest of the world? Oh, you see what happens when children associate only with those their own age? Just look at the television screen today, friends. Just look at the riots all over the country. They're following, they're compelled to do what they see their other friends doing. And they're not following righteousness, holiness, anything redemptive. They're just conforming. Yeah. Is that what you want them to do? Mm-mm. Monica, yeah. This issue of socialization is a pretty big deal, isn't it?
It's a huge deal. Absolutely it is. And in all of my writing, even before this book, it's just so on my heart to remind parents that it is just a law of nature, a spiritual law, that we become like the company we keep. And when we think our kids are going to be a good influence on others, it typically ends up happening in the reverse, where our kids are going to be conformed to those that they're around. And so there's hardly anything more important in our parenting than being really careful about the influences in our kids' lives, both in-person friendships as well as online and technology and games and all the rest.
Well, our kids are still, they're wanting to be influencers, but not the way God intended to be influencers. Exactly. I'm thinking of Lori Loughlin. Lori Loughlin was well known as an actress. In fact, she was known as a Christian actress. She was known as a person who considered her faith very, very important. But she considered something else more important, and that was somehow getting her kids into USC and getting them recognized. And so she sacrificed in a way that was considered unlawful and ended up in prison. Both she and her husband ended up in prison, compromising the very witness that they wanted to have regarding their kids, and their kids were both influencers.
Yeah,
well,
so sad.
It has been so sad. I grieve over that situation because she missed the mark. The very thing that she wanted, she forfeited in order to get the world's acclamation.
Yeah.
And we just have to avoid that, don't we?
Yeah. We do, and I always remind myself when I hear stories like that, you know, but by the grace of God go I, because she probably didn't start off with these intentions.
Right.
There is such a slippery slope once you start buying into that notion of wanting to be liked by the world, wanting to be an influencer, popular, you know, something I guard myself against just because I am on social media and I'm doing all these things, and I'm like,
No,
my goal is to honor the Lord and always walk in integrity. So
there you go.
It's a sad story.
Reason number two why people don't homeschool: I don't have the patience.
Yeah.
What about that? Do any of us have the patience?
I was going to say, either do I. But certainly patience is like a muscle, I say. If you don't have it, then you need to work it. You need to train.
Yeah.
Because it's one of the, you know, fruits of the Spirit that we all should be aiming
right.
to have. So not in, you know, I say in these, there's some really legitimate reasons why some people hesitate or think they can't homeschool, but I'm
right.
also going to give some big sister love, I call it, and call your bluff on some of these things, because
good for you.
Don't tell me that the fact that you butt heads with your kid is a reason not to homeschool. Like,
well,
I'd say that's a parenting issue more than a homeschool.
There it is.
So.
That's a parenting issue. There it is. It might be a God issue, too.
Yes.
I don't have
yes.
the education necessary to homeschool my kids. Well, you don't have to be trained as a school teacher. In fact, it might be better if you weren't trained as a school teacher.
You're right. You're right, and research shows that parents without much education have still produced great educated kids through homeschooling.
Absolutely. I know of several families like that.
Mm-hmm.
They did
yeah.
not have that kind of an education.
Yep.
Now, I was a public school teacher for 9 years before I practiced law, and my wife did get that school training. But in reality, those things really didn't help us particularly.
Yeah.
With regard to homeschooling, because
that's
homeschooling
right.
is a whole different ballgame.
It is. It is. And I also like to remind people that there are so many incredible resources out there that when you do hit that point, which I did
mm-hmm.
with my sons, where I wasn't ready to teach calculus or physics, but
well, good for you.
There's some great resources out there that I could point them to, and it's not like parents have to actually do all of the teaching just because you're homeschooling. That would be a myth that needs to be busted.
How about I don't have the support of my spouse?
That's a tough one.
Yes, it is.
And my heart goes out, because I tell the story that initially my husband was not on board, though he was open to giving it a trial run, and
uh-huh.
so that's something that's worth a lot of prayer, good conversations, and at least inviting your spouse into, you know, doing a little more research, perhaps reading my book or other
there you go.
Great information out there on homeschooling, talking to somebody, because it's worth having the conversation. Don't give up too quick just because initially they aren't for it.
How about a working mom? I have to work,
yeah.
she says. Well, maybe
yeah.
she does and maybe she doesn't.
Oh, that's, again, a little big sister love there says to you, is this a need to or a want to? Or is it, I want to work because I have to keep up a certain lifestyle?
Now, my wife quit teaching in
uh-huh.
order to homeschool our
that's
kids.
Right. Yes, I mean, I know people who have downsized or sold a car or skipped a summer vacation or any number of things, moved to a different location because it is so worth it to bring up your kids in a way that you know, can ensure that you are the one overseeing their education. So if you do have to work, though, there are still ways. And there are full websites and resources out there dedicated to working moms, maybe single moms who
mm-hmm.
want to work and homeschool. It is possible. Where there's a will, there's a way.
There you go. Where there's a will, there is a way. There's an appropriate place for that statement, isn't there?
Yeah, there is.
All right.
And again, when you're making a choice to honor the Lord, He's going to walk with you through that. And you might you may not keep your same job. It might look like making some drastic changes, but there will be opportunities if that is your heart's desire.
How about feeling called to homeschool, and then maybe your kids say, well, you know, I don't think I want to do that. I want to be in public school. I want to do this. I want to be with my friends. I want to do this. I want to do that. What say you?
Sure. Well, I say, you know, have the good conversations with your kids. You want them to feel heard and loved, but ultimately, you're the parent. They're kids. God didn't call you to let them lead you, but you are to lead your kids. And so you are to make the decision that you know is right for them in love and trust that they're going to understand one day. It may not be in the moment, though.
Two of the things that stand out to me as to excuses why people say they don't want to homeschool. One is, I want my kids to be lights in their school. In other
yeah.
words, I want them to, I'm sending them into the public school to be an evangelist. Really?
Is that the purpose of schooling? No, it's not. But it sounds really good, right? Like, it sounds so holy and spiritual.
Yeah.
But we need to remember that when Jesus said, go into the world and make disciples, he was not talking to children. He was talking to adults.
Really?
One verse. Yes, really. And the one verse I point to is from Matthew 19, where we know that Jesus said, let the little children come to me. So what are children called to do? They're called to come to Jesus. And that happens in our homes with us. Then we can raise them up to be equipped to be evangelists. Now, did my kids talk about Jesus at the skate park, at the beach? Did we encourage them to look for opportunities to tell their unsaved friends about Jesus in their youth? Yes, we did, but that was not their job.
In other words, you didn't hide them away in your house and lock the doors and say, we're homeschooling now till you're 17 years old or whatever.
Yeah.
No, they get out of the house. You have them involved in other activities, and so they're socialized, they're exposed, but the main training center is in your home.
100%, yes, and
all right. Now, here's another big one. I send my kids to school for academics, but teach them about God at home and in church. Number one, they don't teach them about God at home and in church because they're delegating that. Also, just like they're delegating their education, and the reality is it's just an excuse.
That's right. Yes. And bottom line, most important thing, everyone has to acknowledge, there is no such thing as a neutral education.
So really? You mean viewpoint does determine destiny?
Yes. Yes. When you send your kids to school and think they're getting just the academics, they are not. There is spiritual training involved in every part of their education.
Exactly.
So you've got to acknowledge that.
So when you mention the issue of evolution, that's a pretty big deal because no matter what school you go to, that's what they're going to teach. And they're not going to teach it as a theory. They're going to teach it as a fact.
That's
so
right.
I was asked to speak for several years to the World Religions and Global Ethics classes at Virginia Commonwealth University. And when I spoke there, I talked to them about, among other things, evolution, and showed them how even the greatest promulgators of evolution didn't really believe in it. They believed in it only as an alternative to creation because they said we can't tolerate allowing a divine foot in the door. So therefore, we have to teach evolution. So I kept getting this response when I said, you're being taught evolution as a fact. Please understand that you are being taught evolution as a fact. It's not a fact.
Right.
So incredibly, I always got the response, oh, no, 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 we're not taught as a fact. One day, a young man in the back of the room stood up and he said, you're all liars. We are taught evolution as a fact. Yes. Please be honest about it.
That's right.
So therein lies the problem. If you're taught evolution as a fact, you are actually, your children are actually being taught that there's no creator. And if there's no creator, he didn't create. And he didn't create you in his image. And therefore, by definition, you are allowing your children to be inculcated into a false doctrine that is actually going to ultimately exalt Satan as the Lord of their lives. No matter what you may rationalize, no matter what you may think, you lose the creator, and you've lost everything else.
That's right. That's right.
Is that true?
That is so true. And if you are doing your due diligence, having the conversations at home, then at the very least, you're confusing them. Because why are you sending me somewhere for an education if they're, at least some of what they're teaching are lies? So you've got a kid now starting off on a foundation of just confusion.
This is the reason why so many young people, when they go off to college, never return to Christ.
That's right.
They just don't.
Yeah.
Here is another fact. For the last 10 years, George Barna and others have said that among professing Christian young people, friends, only 20% of them believe that Jesus Christ is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. Only 20% of Christian young people. Why is that? Because they've been completely enculturated by a godless culture that says there are many ways. So 80% of professing Christian young people today do not believe that Jesus Christ is the only way, the only truth in life. In other words, they're not really Christians. They're just not. Even though you're sending them to church, in youth groups and so on, you're not training them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's a serious business.
Preach.
All right.
Very serious.
What do you think, Monica? We're hitting it hard.